to pray. You open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you. And know that there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can't know except in moments steadily growing.
Joy Harjo is a poet, musician, and member of the Muscogee Creek Nation. And yesterday she became the first Native American to be named U.S. Poet Laureate. Here's how Harjo described her appointment to the role.
I feel like it's something that I'm carrying, and it's not just me carrying the title. It has to do with my family, my people, this country, all of the poets, all the people. Poetry belongs to everyone. It doesn't just belong sitting on a shelf in a university.
Throughout her career, Harjo has brought poetry to the people and put her identity as an Indigenous woman at the forefront of her work. And today I'm joined by two Indigenous poets, and they're here to talk about what Harjo's appointment means to them and for the broader Indigenous community. Kimberly Blazer is a poet and professor of American Indian Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She's an Anishinaabe, an enrolled member of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe. We're also joined by Esther Belin, a Navajo artist and poet. Kim and Esther, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you so much.
Esther, let's start with you. When you heard that Joy Harjo had been named Poet Laureate, what was your initial reaction?
I was elated. It was almost unbelievable that recognition had finally entered into our world. And it made me super happy.
And Kim, how do you describe Harjo's work? What sorts of themes emerge in her writing?
Well, she has been for a long time what I call a truth teller, which she herself calls a truth teller. So she is both a poet of resistance, a poet of witness, but also someone who, as the poem that you used to intro the show showed, someone who is interested in recognizing our connection to the spiritual reality as well. And so a lot of times her poetry has to do with challenging and correcting historical untruths about Native people, challenging injustice throughout the world, not only in Native communities, but more broadly. And she has also for a long time been an advocate for the role of women, both in Native communities and largely in the world.
What does Harjo's appointment mean when we look at the historical context of Native culture in the United States and really the deliberate erasure of that culture, everything from establishing reservations to forbidding the use of Native languages in school?
Well, I think one thing that it does is it definitely begins that conversation of inclusion for tribal people. I think some of the beginnings of this country included ambassadors from tribal nations in that conversation. And I think herself as an ambassador through the arts is winning on both sides, because that's one thing that I think tribal people always bring to the table is that inclusion, not just of the human, but also of the cultural landscape, of the spiritual aspects, and also the future generations. So I'm really hoping that that realm will be part of those conversations and that she'll really have an amazing impact just as who she is this great writer, artist, mother, grandmother, truly an elder in our community.
So I guess I would absolutely agree with everything Esther said, but I think that sense of the future generations has always been important in Joy's work, and also the inclusiveness. And the other thing, when you mentioned the world writ large, the environment, you know, we're at a really crucial time for our world, and she has always been also someone who is ultra conscious of the natural world, the environment, our responsibility, the reciprocity, the role of reciprocity in Native cultures, and how to bring that forward into a larger conversation.
And I'm wondering if you could both, and Esther, I'll start with you, talk a little bit about the role of poetry in Indigenous communities.
Sure. you know, for my tribe, I'm from the Navajo Nation out in the Four Corners. And one of the things that our tribal stories are related through song. And essentially, if you wrote those songs out on paper, they're poetic. They're poems. And we have our own, what we would call Diné poetics, internal in our songs and in our stories. So that rhythm is very natural for us. That description, that use of language is part of who we are. And we see those commonalities even in newer emerging writers, that they're embracing those elements. And that only comes from our songs and, you know, if you want to call them our early forms of poetics.
So Joy actually says in, I think it's the book Conflict Resolutions for Holy Beings, she says that every poem is an effort at ceremony. So I totally think that everything Esther said is perfect in describing Native poetry. And another sort of aspect of it too, I think, is something that's emphasized in Joy's work, is poetry as an agent of change. I talk about it as being affective and effective. So beautiful as language, as song, but also doing something in the world. And I think that those sort of dual aspects have always been present and working together. And even the title, Conflict Resolutions for Holy Beings, shows that effort to do something with the poetry.
And we often say you have to see it to believe it almost, particularly I think when it comes to women of color in these predominantly, you know, white spaces and big roles. And for me, watching this was, you know, it really was a moment as a woman of color, not Indigenous, but as a woman of color. I'm wondering if you can speak to what that means, her appointment means more broadly for Indigenous women poets.
Joy has, you know, for a very long time been an advocate for Native women, both in what she does within her own writing, but also just her work in the community and her inclusiveness. So I was thinking about one of her early anthologies, Reinventing the Enemy's Language, which was a huge anthology of Indigenous women's poetry. And so there's always been this effort within her work to build community, to be inclusive. And right now she's in the midst of editing the Norton Anthology of Native Poetry. So for about a year and a half, she's brought, again, a community of other Native writers together and worked, you know, made connections, had us work on this together. And so I think that bringing other people with her, elevating the voices of other Native writers, particularly Native women, has been a longstanding practice. And I think that's wonderful to think that now she will have a larger platform for that.
Kimberly Blazer is a poet and enrolled member of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe, and Esther Belin is a Navajo artist and poet. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you.